My name is Christoph Perens. I'm from the company Neomitic. And the idea of this session, which is organized by Microsoft and also the Microsoft Innovation Centers in Belgium, is to promote and to let you figure out how to be able to deploy and create Windows Phone applications. So the idea of this session will be composed in two parts. So the first part will be a theoretical overview of the platform itself, so for which kind of target the platform was made. Also the main new features that the last release will give you as ability to develop specific applications for Windows Phone. And then the second part will be a set of different demonstrations, beginning with a kind of Hello World application that just figure out what are the different parts of a Windows Phone project. And then in the next demonstrations, we will see how to use the accelerometer, but also the location service of the phone, so how to add positioning inside of our applications, finishing with the notion of background agents, which is the way to deal with background processing that we will be able to do on the Windows Phone itself. So before beginning with really the big picture of the phone, so of course one of the targets for Microsoft is to try to convince you to create applications for the Windows Phone environment. And for that purpose, we started up a competition to allow 20 different students to win a Windows Phone. So to be able to win a Windows Phone, so the rules are really easy. Up to 31 of December, if you publish three applications on the marketplace, and those three applications are accepted onto the marketplace, the first 20 students that publish those three applications will win a Windows Phone. Okay, so the competition is quite very simple to do. So today, regarding the roadshow that has begun begin of October, there is only one student who meets this requirement. So there are still 19 phones to win, and so competition is still open to win those different phones. Okay. So if you want more information about how to win those phones and all the different rules about this competition, you can just go to the MSDN blog website inside of the academic section of the Belux MSDN blog site. You will find all the different informations regarding this competition. So how to take part of this competition? So it's quite really easy. So the first thing to do will be to install the tools, so the Windows Phone SDK, which allow you to create your applications, then having three good IDs for applications. So once you have those three good IDs, begin to develop your applications. You can do most of the different features inside of the Windows Phone emulator itself. But in most of the cases, it's always quite interesting to test out your application onto a real phone. Because if we take the certification of our applications, so prior to submit your application to the marketplace and before it will be available for the end users, Microsoft will perform all kind of tests on your application. And one of the first tests will be your application has to be started up inside of 5 seconds. So in between that the user will click onto the icon and the application first screen will be displayed to the end user, you may not exceed 5 seconds. So inside of the emulator, which is running on top of your PC, so your PC will be faster than a phone. And so even if this particular test will succeed onto your PC, maybe onto a real phone, it will not succeed. So testing out your application onto a real phone is something which is quite very important to be able to see if all those tests will pass or not. So for that reason, the person of the academic part of Microsoft will take contact with your teacher and he will provide him with a Windows Phone so that if you want to make applications for the Windows Phone, you will be able to test it out onto a real device. Okay. So this means if you have any project later on where you need to use a Windows Phone, the teacher will have one which will be able to give it to you to test out your applications. So once you have tested out your application onto a real phone, up to go to the marketplace and to submit your application to the marketplace. And once you have three applications that have been certified and you are within those 21st students to publish your three applications, you will receive one of the phones. So if you want, again, more information about that, you can just go to the website of Microsoft to check out what are the different rules about that. Initially, when I prepared this kind of sessions, I defined a deck of many different slides around Windows Phone. So more and more during those different sessions, I just cut down the amount of slides that I just show to the different students. And I will show approximately five different slides. And the rest, I will just switch over to Visual Studio and make the rest of my theoretical part through demonstrations and through a practical site that I will invite you to do on your laptop during the different demonstrations. So most of the demonstrations will only contain a couple of 5 up to 10 lines of code. So this means that you will be able to do that in parallel and have some practical hands-on with making a Windows Phone application. So the blog, onto my blog, so www.mitic.be/blog/cpe, will be able to download the slides, and you will find also a set of different articles that will be used to make the demonstration. So each demonstration, you will find an article that describes in a step-by-step way a way to reproduce the demonstration by yourself at home or later on. Also, David Terny, which is involved with the Windows Phone developers community at Microsoft here in Belgium, also has a blog on our website and also posts a lot of information around Windows Phone. And so you can just go down and check it out. So it's the second year that we are making this kind of experience. So last year we didn't receive a lot of feedback because we didn't put in place a way to receive this feedback. So this year, just to figure out if this kind of session is interesting, if there are some parts that has to be done in a different way, what's your feedback about the product? We put up an evaluation form that is accessible onto the following website. So www.surveymonkey.com/s/HQ979TF. And I will ask you to fill in this evaluation form to just give us some feedback about this session. Now, we know that if we just define and ask you, okay, please fill in this evaluation form, most of you will not do that. So just to be sure that we have a maximum of evaluation forms to be filled in, we put also Windows Phone inside of the game so that if you fill in the evaluation form, at the end of all those different sessions, there will be one Windows Phone that will be there will be one person that fill in the evaluation form that will win a Windows Phone when it will be chosen for that. So this is for the practical part of this session. So if you want to win a Windows Phone, just create three applications. And we will see during those demonstrations that making an application for Windows Phone is quite very easy. So before going on to the demonstrations, so it's really important when we want to develop for a particular platform to know what are the ends of the platform, in which meaning this platform was done, just to be able to make our application focus more on the user experience that most of the users are waiting on when using an application on this kind of device. So just before going on to the new features of the Windows Phone, I will just put on the big picture of this Windows Phone. And the main great thing is that the phone was focused for end-user market. So I don't know, just making some small statistics, who has a smartphone here? Okay, so I think most of you have a smartphone. So who has an iPhone? Okay, an Android one? Okay, or a Microsoft one? No, nobody? Okay, so it's good reason to make the competition, to win one. So as we can see that most of you have a smartphone, which means that most of you will be able to run and install applications and also perform some operations that we couldn't do some years ago with a normal phone. So more and more we'll be able, inside of our developments and inside of the companies, to make applications so that we give some kind of companion applications to our regular applications. So we are making a website. We want also, from within our Windows Phone, to make an application that provides some functionalities about the website. So more and more companies are involved in making mobile applications. And related to this mobile devices, we can define two different kind of categories. We have mobile phones that are targeted for end users, where the main points will be a user experience that will be very easy, so that the user experience, the user interface, the way the end user will use the phone as something which is quite very easy to use. Also, that the phone will guarantee to the end user a good behavior of the phone. But this means that the phone needs to control from end to end what's happening onto the phone. And so, regarding to the developers, it will bring a lot of different restrictions. At the other end, we have some platforms which are quite really open. And by open, I mean the developer will be able to perform what he wants on those different phones. So he can modify the graphical behavior, he can modify the normal functionalities of the phone, make a hook inside of the SMS stack, for example, receiving binary SMSs. And so we have two kinds of platforms that are available today onto the market. So if I just focus onto the Microsoft platforms, so the open system is what we call the Windows mobile devices. So regarding Windows mobile devices, really the developer had the ability to do precisely what he wants. Modify the graphical side, modify the behavior of the phone, modify the behavior of the applications that will run onto the phone. So really the developer is in some way the king of the phone. He can do what he wants. At the other side, we have now the Windows Phone, which is targeted for the end-user market. And in some way, the end-user market doesn't have any knowledge about what's happening inside of the phone. The only main goals of buying a phone as the end-user is I would like to be able to give a call, receive some calls, try to have my phone that keeps the battery lifetime as long as possible. And also, when I'm using an application, that this application always run in the same way. I don't want to, at the installation time of my application, I can use it quite well. And then 6 months later, after uninstalling a lot of applications, having this application that I like to run slower, this only because there are some background stuff that continues to live. Maybe the old applications just modify the way the phone will react. Maybe our back applications just modify some graphical behaviors. And as the end user, I don't want that. I want to have a kind of guarantee that my application that I installed about 6 months ago, 6 months later, it continued to run in the same way, at the same speed, so with the same resources given by the phone. So this means that the Windows Phone is more targeted so that it will be the operating system that will keep the control on what's going on onto the phone. It will be the operating system that will continue to keep all the ends and all the decisions about what will I run, in which way I will run my applications. And so we have really two platforms that are at some way completely different. One which will be totally open and the developer can do what he wants. And at the other side, we have a platform which is merely closed and where the developer may not do what he wants, but it will be the operating system of the phone that continues to handle the normal behavior of the phone. And so this is precisely what the Windows Phone is focused on, which is a phone focused for end users, where the phone will control totally what's going on onto the phone. So just giving some small samples about the main differences between the Windows Mobile world and the Windows Phone world. Windows Mobile, developers can have access to all the file system, can have access to the registry, by having access to the registry, we can modify the normal behavior of the phone. By modifying at the file system level, we can read, write, modify whatever file is present onto the phone. We can even add our own DLLs. We can modify or replace system DLLs. So to be able to avoid those kind of misuse inside of the Windows phone, we just decide that developers will not have any more access to the file system of the phone. We not more have any access to the registry. The same way, inside of Windows Mobile, we can make native applications. So by making native applications, we can handle pointers. By handling pointers, I will be able to call functions which are not public functions but are present inside of the phone. So in the case of the Windows Phone itself, your applications can run only inside of a .NET framework, running on top of the Silverlight 4 framework, and you will not be able to directly access any features that are provided by the operating system, but you will have to do that through the framework, the Silverlight 4 framework that is provided by the phone. So this means that the applications that will run onto the Windows Phone will be in some way sandboxed inside of an application level that will avoid the developer to be able to do what he wants, and in such way giving to the end user a stability of the phone by the time. Okay. So this is really the main most important thing to keep in mind, is that the Windows Phone is targeted for end users who don't have any knowledge about what's going on inside of the phone, who don't have any computer knowledge, who don't know what's a file system and those kind of things. They just have to know what's an application, how to install an application, use that application, and eventually uninstall this application. All the rest of the functionalities will be hidden inside of the phone, and the end user doesn't have any knowledge, must not have any knowledge about how to manage the phone itself. So this is the main picture of the phone targeted for the end users and not for a computer science public who knows what's happening and who knows also to repair the phone in case of. So regarding to the versions of the Windows Phone, we are now at the version 7.5, so Windows Phone 7.5, which has code name Mango. So this platform now exists about 1 year ago, starting with Windows Phone 7.0 in about September last year, approximately. So we had a minor update in February, and now, since about more than 1 month ago, we can have the 7.5, so Windows Phone 7.5, that is available. So just to figure out this notion of version numbers, there is a lot of confusion about the Mango version number. Some will say it's 7.5, some will say it's 7.1, and this is because when you install the Windows Phone SDK tools, when you will create a new application, the system will ask you, do you want to make something for 7.1 or 7.0? They will not talk about 7.5. But this is because the tools will just focus the operating system level. And so if we take the phone itself, there will be two parts, one which will be the operating system and another one that will be the application layer. And the operating system will be called the Windows Phone Operating System, or Windows CE. And then we have the application level, which is Windows Phone XYZ. Unfortunately, each one of those two layers will have their own version number, which will be different. And so for Windows Phone, the application layer, we will have the Windows Operating System 7.0. So Windows Phone 7.0 was running on top of Windows Phone OS 7.0. Windows Phone 7.1 was running on top of Windows Phone OS 7.0. And Windows Phone 7.5 is running on top of Windows Phone Operating System 7.1. Okay. So what you have to keep in mind, Mango and the application layer, which is Windows Phone 7.5, is running on top of the operating system, so the Windows Phone operating system, Windows CE 7.1. Okay. So watch out when you are reading some stuff on internet and they are talking about Mango 7.1, Mango 5, depending if they are talking about the operating system level or the application layer, they are wrong or they are right, depending what kind of feature they are focusing. So within this last year, so we had a lot of different feedbacks about the usage of Windows Phone. And related to those different feedbacks, we added, instead of the Mango release, some new features that were weighted by most of the different developers. And the first one will be the notion of multitasking. So if we are taking a look closely on the websites and also all the documentation that is provided around the Mango release, one of the first things that is defined is we are multitasking. So watch out, this notion of multitasking doesn't mean that my application that goes in background will continue to receive some CPU time. If I take a quite easy sample, I launch my application A, use my application A, and then I hit the window key to be able to start up application B. So this means that my application A goes in background, and when it goes in background, it will be frozen in background, which means that it will not receive anymore any CPU time. If we see the version Windows Phone 7.0, Windows Phone 7.1, it was even automatically unloaded from the memory to guarantee the system and the foreground application that the foreground application still receive always the same amount of CPU time, will always have the same amount of RAM that will be available for the foreground application. In some way, we guarantee the user experience regarding the user selecting an application that he wants to play with, that this application that he is currently using will always react in the same way, whatever the amount of applications that he ran previously, whatever the amount of applications that he just installed. Okay. But this means that my application will go in background. In the version 7.0, 7.1 will be automatically unloaded from the memory. And in the case of the version of the new version of Mango, it will be put in background. It will not receive anymore any CPU time, but the only optimization that will be done at that layer will be we will not automatically unload it from the memory. But in all the cases, my applications that goes in background, the main applications that will goes in background, will not receive anymore any CPU time. So if you want to make an application that just runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, continuing receiving some CPU time in case of, on top of the Windows Phone, it would be not possible. Okay. So making a kind of voice over IP application or a real-time tracking system that will just figure out what's the current location of the phone and just every 5 minutes, for example, send up this location to a server, it will not be possible. Okay. So the only features regarding multitasking, and we will see that later on in the next slide, will be you will have 25 seconds of processing time that will be allocated to an application every 30 minutes. So every 30 minutes you will be able to do for 25 seconds of treatments in background. So this is the notion of multitasking inside of the Windows Phone. Always when keeping in mind that the main focus is the user experience, giving the end user a phone that will stay up and running as long as possible, so focusing the battery level, and also focusing that the user who is currently using a foreground application, he chose a foreground application, which means that there may be not some background stuff that just influence in a negative way the foreground application. So, of course, inside of the phone itself, there are some enhancements that have been done inside of the phone framework. So there are a lot of features that have been added. So just giving one example, which will be the camera. So inside of the previous versions, the only thing that we could do is to take a still snapshot of a picture and handle this picture inside of our application. In the case of the Mango release, we can just branch ourselves onto the camera and receive the direct video buffer and receiving the flow of images coming from the camera. So now it's really easy to make an augmented reality application. So there are even some frameworks that are available to download on internet if you want to make an augmented reality application for the Windows Phone. So also integration with XNA and Silverlight. So those are two different frameworks. The first framework, which is Silverlight, is a framework that is constructed on an event-driven way, which means that I have my application. Instead of my screen, I have different controls on top of my screen. And once everything is set up, the system is just waiting that there is some external event that is coming on. The user is hitting the touchscreen. There are some network packets that are coming in. And once there is some event that will be fired up somewhere, then I will have some treatment regarding this evening. But this means that the main loop just will wait that there are some external events that are appearing. Inside of the XNA framework, it's more focused for making games. In the case of a game, even if the user is not performing any input, maybe even if we don't have any network input, this means that the game has to continue to live, that the artificial intelligence of the game has to continue to move the soldiers and whatever kind of persons that are related to the game. And so that even if there is no interaction, the game will continue to live each time by displaying the new scenario with handling some particular treatments that has to be done by the different elements of the game. And so in the case of XNA, we are in a kind of infinite loop where most of the cases we will perform a display of something, then we will have a kind of pulling of the inputs to have a notion of, is there anything that is happening regarding to the end user input, and then we will perform the artificial intelligence of my game, and then looping over and over again to this loop. But this means that I have two kind of loops which are totally different. One which is running all the time, another one which is just waiting to some events, and which were incompatible in some way for that. And so instead of the new version, they just allow us to make some projects where we'll be able to choose from screen to screen if we want to make a page running onto XNA or another page onto Silverlight. And so this means that for game developers, we are now allowed to, instead of our main game screen, to do XNA, but all the configuration screens, the all of frame scores, and all those kind of things to use Silverlight and most of the different controls that are provided by Silverlight, instead of having to re-implement all those different controls inside of our 3D environment. Better integration with the phone also. So there are some stuff that were really hard to do in the previous version, like, for example, retrieving information from our contact list, or knowing I would like to make an application that checks out the appointments of my user. I know that inside of the phone, my user just associates some email addresses. Related to those email addresses, there are a lot of different calendars with appointments. And I would like to find out, okay, what's a time slot where my user is free? So this was something which was not very easy to do in the previous versions, in the way that we had to delegate that to another application. In the new version, we'll have the ability to just query what are the different contacts onto the phone, query the informations related to the user, but also query the appointments and all those different informations. So another big improvement is related to the performance sides. So of course, after 1 year of using, we had a lot of feedback about what should be optimized. And related to that, there are a lot of small different things that will be in some way invisible to the end user, but that will increase the performances. But behind those performances, it's also the increase of the battery lifetime. So just taking one of the examples related to the multitasking. So in the previous versions, when my application goes to background, automatically it was unloaded from the memory. But unloading this application from the memory means using CPU to make some treatments to unload this binary from the memory. Once my user will come back to my application, this means that the operating system has to reload the binary, And inside of my reloaded application, I need to reinitialize everything related to my application. So in the case of the Mango version, once my application goes in background, it is not automatically unloaded, but it will be put in background. It will not receive any more any CPU time, but it will be kept in background in a state that we call dormant, which means my application doesn't receive any more any CPU time, but the operating system will try to keep it in RAM. By keeping it in RAM, this means that we don't have to spend CPU time to unload it, and also we don't have to spend CPU time to reload it to the end user. But by just giving back the CPU time, we can start up again my background application. So for the end user point of view, it will go faster when resuming to the previous application, but also regarding the battery lifetime, because we don't spend any more any CPU time to just unload the application, reload the application, and reinitialize the application. So this means that we are using lesser CPU time. By using lesser CPU time, we use lesser battery, so my phone battery will stay longer. Also, another big point was the database. So a lot of developers asked us, okay, you have already a SQL Server engine that is running on top of your Windows mobile devices. So why not putting this engine inside of the Windows Phone devices? So in the first releases, we didn't include it directly. It can be included as external libraries, and so your applications can use a SQL Server engine that was downloaded from the CodePlex website, for example. But this means that each time we want to provide an application with a database access, we have to include this database engine library inside of our application. And so if we have five applications to deploy, we have to five times deploy the SQL Server engine to the different phones. So here, it is now built-in inside of the Windows Phone. And also, one of the main advantages of built-in libraries is that they are preloaded in memory inside of the phone, which means that loading an application that uses this library, so the loading of this library itself, because it is already preloaded, will take lesser time than if it was deployed inside of your XAP package and has to be decompressed, loaded in memory, and then initialized. New tile experience. So if I just take my my emulator, put it onto the screen. So this is the first screen that appears on the phone when you start up the phone, which is a kind of dashboard screen. So it will contain what we call tiles. So each of those rectangles represents a tile, which is a kind of shortcut to an application. In the previous version, so Windows Phone 7.1, 7.0, you could only associate one tile to one application, which is a kind of shortcut to the application. In the case of the Mango release, we added some what we call secondary tiles, so the ability to add some extra tiles to this dashboard screen so that there is a link to some internal pages of my application. Just giving some sample, suppose you make an application that will display, I don't know, stock options, and you have a list. Once you choose one of the stock options, you will go to another page that will display some detailed information about the stock option. What you will be able to do is, for this detailed page, to make a kind of shortcut onto this dashboard screen so that the user will receive inside of the tile some information about the stock option, but also when he click onto this tile, that he goes directly to the detailed page without having to navigate through the main page, the list of all the different stock options, and then go to the detailed page. Another element that has been increased is the marketplace itself. So just about about 1 year ago, one of the main focus was to have a set of different applications available onto the marketplace. So in some way, the focus was put on having a better quantity of applications rather than focusing it to the quality of the applications. Okay. Of course, there were already a lot of certification tests that were done by Microsoft. But in the case of the last version, now that we have a lot of applications that are available onto the marketplace, We will focus more and more on the quality of the applications rather than having a quantity of applications. So instead of the process of developing an application, so you install the SDK as defined, you have a good ID, you make your implementation, you test it out onto a real phone. Once you want to provide your application to the end user, you may not just send them by mail this installation package or this CAP file. You will need to do it through sending and submitting your application to the marketplace of Microsoft. And so, after you submit your application, the first thing that will be done will be to test out your application. So they will be done through automated tests, but also done by human persons that will test out really your application. And only if your application passed all the different tests, then your application will be able to be downloaded by the end users. Because those tests are more and more, there are more and more tests that are done, certifications of those applications are more and more complex. Inside of Visual Studio, inside of this release, you have also the Marketplace Test Kit. So this allows you to test out if your application will succeed or not the certification tests before submitting your application to the marketplace. Of course, the Marketplace Test Kit will not test out all the features of your application, but most of the automated features and the global tests that are performed at Microsoft will be included inside of this Marketplace Test Kit inside of Visual Studio. And so maybe last point where we have a lot of functionalities that have been added inside of the Mango release is the ability to access directly the sockets. So inside of the previous version, there was no way to just open a particular TCP/IP socket onto a particular port and implement our own protocol. The only protocol that was available was HTTP and through the client objects that allow me to connect to a web server to be able to download, upload some HTTP files or to be able to call web services. So in the case of the Mango release, we have now access to the full sockets, giving us a way to access UDP, TCP/IP connections to the ports I want with the protocol that I want to implement inside of my phone. So the next slide, just focus on to the multitasking part, which is maybe one of the most important parts that are available inside of this new release. And I want just to focus on one thing again, which is you cannot make an application that receives 24 hours a day, 4 days a week, so 7 days a week, the CPU time. So in all the cases, when your application goes in background, it will not receive any CPU time. Okay. The only difference between the Mango release and the previous one is what we call the fast application resume, which defines that my application will not be automatically unloaded from the memory, but there is a kind of caching which is implemented to keep my background applications in memory so that we will be able to switch back to the application faster. And this was done not because only for the user experience we go back faster to the application, but also in an idea to minimize the amount of CPU that is needed to unload and then reload my application, and so in this way consuming lesser battery. But this means that in all the cases, you cannot do an application that continues to run in background. Okay. So the only things that will allow you to run some background code that you write by yourself is what we call the background agents. So the background agents, it's a library that exposes one function, which is oninvoke. We'll see that later on inside of the demonstrations, where you will be able to execute some code that you write by yourself. But again, not in the context you want, but in the context the operating system will allow you to run this background agent. So there are three types of background agents. So we have the audio background agents, which allow you to run and continue to run audio in background without having the application that started up the playback of the music to remains in memory. Then we have timed background agents. So the idea about a timed background agent is to allow some small amount of time So it's a couple of 25 seconds, if my memory is good, every 30 minutes to perform some action. So the main idea is allowing you to let the time to make a network connection, retrieve some information, some basic information from your web server, and try to notify the end user that something new has been arrived or something new has to be done through the main application. So most of the background agents are just kind of companion to the main application. Now, in some cases, we don't want to have a periodic execution of something. Just having, for example, you are making an application that reads some mails. You don't want just to have every 30 minutes the time to check out if there are some new mails that just arrived. But maybe you want, at some part of the day, to be able to just synchronize all those different mails. And so you need more than 25 seconds of execution time. And so this can be done inside of the on-idle background agent. So the on-idle background agent, the idea is to provide you with some CPU time, enough. It will be a couple of 10 minutes of CPU time to perform a longer information or a longer treatment on this information. But of course, it will not run every 30 minutes. But it will run only when the phone is inside of a particular context. And so this context must be, the phone must be connected to the charger, the phone must be in idle state, so in the state where it is here, the screen is off, or in sleep mode. You must have a Wi-Fi connection which is available, and the battery has to be at least at 90%. So the typical moment where we meet all those different conditions is when I'm charging my phone at night. At home, I have my Wi-Fi connection, which is in most of the cases on. I just connect my phone and charge it during the night. And so during the night, I will have plenty of time where I will be able to use the phone. I don't care about the battery usage because I'm connected to the charger. And there I will have a lot of time to make my synchronization. And so those are the three different elements where you will be able to run your own code. Audio background agents, periodic tasks, or resource intensive tasks. So periodic is equal to timed, and resource intensive is equal to idle. Okay. Now, of course, this will not allow us to just cover all the different scenarios in mobile devices. So one scenario which is not covered with background agents that will be scheduled every 30 minutes during a couple of seconds, is, for example, the scenario where I need to notify my user at a particular moment. If I need to pop up my user or specify to the user something at 3 o'clock and 32 minutes and 21 seconds, I'm not be able to do that with the Windows Phone directly. Because the only way to do that is just having my application to run, checking out what's the current time, and if the current time meets the alarm time, to be able to notify my user. Because in most of the cases, my phone will be in this state. This means that my application is not running. Because my application is not running, I will not be able to know what time is this. I'll not be able, from within my application, to just notify my user. And so to give us this functionality, the scheduling part of the operating system has been opened so that we will be able to schedule some extra stuff like alarms and reminders. So this means that inside of all the things that the phone has to perform at some particular time, which can be scheduling a background agent, but also scheduling an alarm, scheduling a reminder, I will be able to interact with that and add my own alarms and reminders. And defining by this way, at that particular time, I need to pop up my user to perform some action. Okay. And so last scenario, which is not covered regarding to the two previous parts, is I'm running onto a mobile device, and at my mobile device, I need sometimes to retrieve a huge amount of information coming from internet. So downloading a movie, for example, or I'm making a news reader related to my news. I may have some small movie, or I want to go to YouTube and download some movie. I need to download this information to my phone. So even if this information will be resized to fit onto my phone regarding to the size of the movie itself, downloading a huge amount of data onto the cellular network, for example, will be an operation that will be time-consuming. And so, in the same ID, suppose I have my application that needs to download a huge amount of data. I will be able to do that inside of my application, retrieving the bytes, saving the bytes inside of the isolated storage. And then, in most of the cases, I will provide my end user with some feedback, with a progress bar, and also an idea about how many time my transfer will take to complete. And if I specify to my user it will take 2 minutes, the different ways the end user will handle that is putting his phone onto the desk, saying, okay, I got 2 minutes, I will just take a cup of coffee, and when lying his phone, after 30 seconds, the phone will go to sleep mode. When going to sleep mode, my application goes in background. When going in background, don't receive any more CPU time. The transfer stops. And if the transfer stops, maybe I will have some timeouts. And by having a timeout, when the user, when he comes back, starting up the phone, he's thinking about, okay, it's now 5 minutes that I went out to get a cup of coffee. My transfer should be done. And he will see that the transfer has been aborted and that he had to transfer everything again. Another scenario is, I have 2 minutes, I will just switch to another application, checking out if I get some new mails. But again, my application will go to background. Background, no CPU time, no CPU time, etc., etc. And so the idea is to try to figure out a way so that my transfer will be able to continue even if my application is not more running in foreground. Because at the operating system and behind the ID of the phone, I don't allow a background execution. The only way to do that is to be able to delegate my transfer to the operating system. And so this time, what I will do is, instead of coding the transfer myself in my application, I will just delegate that to the operating system, asking the operating system, okay, please, transfer me this file from this website to my isolated storage, or vice versa. I would like to upload this file to my web server. Okay. So this is the main things that are new inside of the Mango release to allow you to perform some background operations. But in all the cases, there will be no way to make an application that continues to run in background all the time. Okay. So inside of the three next slides, I will just enumerate some of the new features. Most of them are just defining them. So the first one will be the camera. As mentioned, we have now access to the live camera feed. We have a new sensor that has been added inside of the Mango release, which is the gyroscope. So of course, with the other sensors, the gyroscope was the missing one to have a full immersion for augmented reality. Ability to access to the sockets. We talked about the SQL CE, so the SQL engine that is now part of the Mango release to be able to enumerate the contact list, but also the different appointments from my calendar. I will have new tile experience, ability to just add some secondary tiles. We have also different toasts. So a toast is a kind of message that we will be able to pop up to the end user. And most of those new deep toasts will be used in the context of a background agent. So every 30 minutes, I will have some CPU time. If, depending what I retrieve it from my server, I need to notify my user that something has to be done, I need to interact with the user from my background agent. I will not be able to do that directly by displaying some stuff from within my background agent, but I need to do it through the operating system, and this will be done through the toast. So we'll see that inside of a demonstration. So we have running now on Silverlight 4, and we have now the support of the Dutch language. So watch out. For those who already own a Windows Phone 7 and who upgrade to the Mango release, they will not have the ability to switch their display in Dutch. Only the Windows phones that are sold as Mango phones will have the Dutch language that will be available to the end users. So regarding the tools, there are a lot of new features that are present inside of the tools, and one of the most important parts will be the emulation of the different sensors like location services, but also the accelerometer. We'll see that inside of the demonstrations that are coming later on. And maybe also one which maybe seems not to be very interesting, but once you begin to write Windows Phone applications, you will use it a lot, will be the profiler. So your phone will be slower than the emulator, and when you will test out some features onto the phone, you will see that it will be slow, it will lag. And then if you need to optimize your code, once you have written hundreds of lines of code, we need to figure out where you will be able to optimize your code. What is taking a long time? What can be spent in background threads instead of foreground threads? What will make my graphical path to lag when? And all those kind of things can be deduced by using the profiler. So this ends the theoretical part of this presentation. So keep in mind that the focus of the phone is the end user. And to protect the end user, the environment which is provided through the phone will really enclose the ability that the developer has to make an application. But at the other end, we can do most of the different things that we need inside of the Windows Phone, with maybe one exception, is to have some CPU time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So here, I will just switch to a more practical part. So I invite you to just read through your laptop to follow the same demonstrations and to make the same demonstrations that I do. So we'll just close my PowerPoint slides and switch to Visual Studio. So we'll sit down. It will be easier to type onto the keyboard. So the idea of the first demonstration is to make a kind of Hello World application. So once you start with Visual Studio, you will be able to create a new project. And inside of the new projects, you will have Silverlight for Windows Phone. So there are a couple of different templates that are provided. So the first one, which is a simple Windows Phone application, just one page. Then you have different templates that will include data management with also the MVVM environment, so definition of objects at one side, a list box, screen, and then if you click on one of the elements, you will go to a detailed page. So this will be done through the phone data bound application with specific controls, which are panorama, pivot, and then you have the last ones that allow you to make your background agents. So the first demonstration, and most of the demonstrations will work around the Windows Phone application. So we'll create my first Windows Phone application. And first thing that Visual Studio will ask me is, for what kind of target do I want to make my application? So if I just check it out, what are the abilities that are given by the job bound, the combo here, is would you like to make an application for Windows OS 7.0 or Windows OS 7.1? So keep in mind, Windows Phone operating system 7.0 is for Windows Phone 7.0 or Windows Phone 7.1, and Windows Phone OS 7.1 will be focused for Windows Phone 7.5. Okay. So in my case, I will take the Windows OS 7.1, which means I will focus my development for Windows Phone 7.5, the Mango release. So the different parts of my application that are generated, I will have some properties which will contain the manifest of my application. I will have my references, which will contain what are the external libraries that I want to use, but also all the proxies that are generated regarding to my web services that I want to access. And then I have my three different images. So if I take my background image and open the containing folder, I will be able to just edit it. I will use my Paint application to edit my background. So we'll add some text just to figure out at what moment my background image will be used. We'll just save it. Then if I take back my different images, I will have my application icon. So the application icon, as you can imagine, is the icon that will be used as the application icon, so the one that is located near the application name on which the user will be able to start. Put it in red. And then I have my background PNG. So my background PNG is not the background of my window, but will be used as the background of my tile image that I will be able to associate instead of the dashboard screen. So I will put it in blue, so that we will be able to see, instead of the next demonstration, where and in which cases my different images will be used. So we'll just switch down everything. So we check it out, the different icons. Then next, we will see the different files. So the first one will be my application, .xaml, app.xaml. Which defines in some way the main functions of my application. So regarding to the main functions of my application, there will be four of them. We will have application launching, application activated, application deactivated, and application closing. So the idea behind those four functions is to cover start of my application, closing of my application, but also when my application will goes in background. So we'll see during the demonstration that when I start my application, it will be the application launching that will be called. When I close my application, application closing. But when my application will be put in background, once I start up another application, I will go inside of the application deactivated. So instead of the application deactivated, it will be at that part that I will save the context of my application so that in case my application will be unloaded from the memory, I will be able to reload it once my application will be reactivated. And then the counterpart of the deactivated function will be the activated function, which means that when my application come back, it will be eventually reloaded from memory instead of the memory. And then start it up again, and then I will have a call to application activated. And then instead of my main page, so my main page, the description of my main page is defined through XAML. And so here I have all the description of my page here. If I add instead of the toolbox a particular button, in the same way as most of the applications that we are doing through C# or VB.NET. If I double click onto my button, I will have the associated code and just being able to add the logic of my application in the same way that you do it in a regular application. So of course, the logic of my Hello World application will be very easy, which is just to display a message box to display the Hello World. So once I have generated or created my code, I will be able to compile. And once I compile my application, the Silverlight environment will generate me, if I get my Windows back. No. Okay. So if I check out inside of the binary subdirectory, instead of debug, I will have my XAP file. So my XAP file is really the deployment package of a Silverlight application. So making there is no need to make an installation package or a CAP file or an MSI package for a Silverlight application, because everything is self-contained inside of the XAP file. So if you just want to take a look inside of the XAP file, just rename the XAP file into a zip file, and then you will be able to see what's inside of the XAP file. It will give you also an idea about what will be provided through my application. So later on, once you will have more experience with making Silverlight applications, when adding some resources like images, you will be able to choose in between putting my image as a resource or as a content of my deployment package. Okay. So if you want to see if what's the result, if it is inside of the XAP file or if it is as a resource inside of the DLL, just by editing the XAP file, you will be able to see that. So I just compile. This means that my XAP file is generated. So next, if I run my application, I will be able to test out if I want to run my application inside of the emulator or on top of a real device. So if you connect a real device directly, we'll just give you one so that you will be able to test out if it is running. Shut it down. So once you want to test out your application on a real device, this means that you select your device, and if you connect whatever kind of device directly to your PC, you will not be able to debug your application. This is because to be able to run debug code on your real device, you must first unblock your phone to be able to debug on it. And to be able to unblock your phone, you must subscribe to the Windows portal, the Windows Home portal. So if you want to just play a little bit with the Windows Phone, you can just give it to your colleagues. So in my case, I will be able to test it out onto a real device, but it will be more convenient to test it out inside of the emulator. And once I will run my application, so get an error, try it again. Okay. So this is the demo effect. I will stop. Execute it again. Okay. It's maybe because I just renamed my XAP file in zip file, and because it didn't find, he knows that the XAP file was generated, he didn't find the last version, so he was trying to keep it. So we'll try to put both my Visual Studio and the emulator onto the same screen, so we don't have a lot of resolution here. Trying to do my best for that. So if I take my application, so the first thing was I generated my XAP file, it was deployed onto the phone. So once the phone will start up my application, the first thing that you will check out inside of this XAP file is I will take the splash screen image. Prior to do what else, it just will display the splash screen image on top of the screen. And once my splash screen image is onto the screen, it will begin to load the binary and initialize everything related to my application. Okay. So first thing that will be done is at application level calling the application launching function, where I will perform my initialization of my application. And then after that, it will check out inside of the manifest of my application what is the main page, and will instantiate my main page. Okay. So this means that once my application is running, so you don't have to care about those numbers which are at the right side of your screen. Those numbers are debugging information that give you some feedback about the amount of images that will be displayed by the application. Also, the graphical resources that are used by the system. So it's more focused for game development more than for Silverlight development. So inside of my application, if I force my application to go in background, so what I can do is explicitly pushing to the Windows button, this will force my application to go in background. So we can see that onto the emulator, the fact of pushing my Windows button means that the main menu will appear. My application goes in background. This means that the operating system will decide, okay, I will not give any CPU time to the application, but I will call one specific function, which is application deactivated, and also the functions that will be called when my screen will disappear. Instead of the application deactivated, you will have the time to save the current state of your application so that once the user will come back to my application, or by hitting the back button just once, or by keeping the back button, if I switch back to the application, it will be able to come back to his application. So as we can see inside of the emulator, and the fact that we put a breakpoint here, once I come back to my application, the system will just in some way reinitialize a little bit my application, calling the application activated. So instead of the application activated, I will be able to use some APIs to check out, was I unloaded from the memory? And in that case, I will need to perform my initialization again, the things that I did instead of my application launching, for example. Or was I still continue to live inside of my background RAM? And then I need just to continue to do my operations, maybe start up again my background threads or those kind of features, the things that I just stop it during desactivating step. During the same time, the end user will see on top of the screen of the phone this animation defining that it is resuming to the previous application. Of course, on more time we will spend inside of the application activated and the initialization of your main screen or the last screen where you were, or more time the end user will see that onto the screen. Okay. And so the idea is to try to minimize this wait time for the end user. Okay. Just about those timing issues, in this case, I tested out most of the different functions, only the application closing. So the application closing will be called when onto my main screen I hit the back button. As we can see, when my application goes in background or will be unloaded, the treatments regarding the fact that I will go to background and I will be closing will be done in background regarding to my application that is now in foreground. So this means that I have my foreground application, which is the one that handles the menu, and I have still my application that goes in background or that will be unloaded, that will continue to live a small amount of time in parallel. So I am now executing my application closing in real background regarding to my main. So some people may say, oh, it's a good idea to just perform a long run operation inside of this application closing function, because the execution of my application closing is done in background, even if the other applications are already there and already usable. So again, the main idea of the operating system is try to keep the operating system and the system as stable as possible regarding to the end user. And one of the rules is I have only one application that may run at the same time. And so if you try to work around the fact that only one application will run in memory by just performing some long run operations inside of the application closing or application deactivated, if you spend more than 10 seconds inside of this function, the application and the operating system will just kill the application. Okay, so the operating system keeps and continue to keep all things running in the way it wants, and all the workarounds that we can think about as a developer to try to work around this limitation are completely closed. So there is no way to have something that runs 24 hours a day inside of the Windows Phone. Okay. So if I take my application, another thing that I will be able to do will be to work onto the graphical side of my application. So if from within my project, I just start up Expression Blend. So Expression Blend is a tool that will not allow me to modify my source code, but Expression Blend is a tool that will work onto the XAML file, so which is the description of my phone screens. And in this case, for example, I can take my button, I will modify the colors, I will take the background, I will be able to modify also the colors, let's say green. For my button, I will be able to modify some graphical things like making a rotation of my button, making my positions, also making a lot of different animations. So if you want to see a little bit more about that, you have the ability to create what we call storyboards. So storyboards are automated and animation sequences up to the controls. So for example, making a sweeping, sweep out effect when you switch from one page to another one. So this can be easily done just by modifying some stuff at Expression Blend level and not writing one line of code to make your animations. Okay. So the purpose of here and those demonstrations is not to focus on the graphical side, because most of the features that we can do at the graphical side are exactly the same as the one that you have for a PC regular Silverlight application. So there are a lot of how-tos and tutorials that are available to be able to perform that. So this is for my main application. If I just want to add, for example, the idea of I have my main page and I want to create a second page, will I be able to do my navigation? I can add a new item. Instead of the enumeration of all the different items, I will have my Windows Phone page. So I will take the portrait page. I will add new one, leaving it as page one. And if instead of hitting my button, I want to display my message box and I want to go to my secondary page, I will be able to use the navigation service. So we are in the context of a Silverlight application, which means that we are talking not from going to first screen to the secondary screen, but we are talking to go from the main page to another page. And we do page navigation in the same way we do that inside of a browser. Okay. So the navigation service will give me some functions. We'll just increase a little bit the size of that. Instead of my navigation service, I will have a navigation function, and inside of my navigation function, I will be able to create a new link to a specific page, and here I will call and go to my page1.xaml. Just defining that and the position and where is located my second page at that part. So this means that if I'm performing my navigation, I will be able to go to my page one just by performing my navigation in this way. And so if I run my application again, taking back my emulator, if I hit the button, I will go to my page one. If I perform a back operation, I come back to my main page. And maybe to modify a little bit the graphical part, and say I will add some image, for example, not a map, an image. And so instead of my secondary page, instead of the source property of my image, I will take some image. Let's say that I will display my koala. So this is my secondary page. So if I just check it out again, so main page, secondary page, I'll be able to go back. So watch out when you are making a Windows Phone application. you must not create a loop effect. So if you have your main page, a link from a main page to page one, then from page one to page two, don't implement a navigation that allows you to go from page two to page one or to the main page. So the normal navigation inside of a Windows phone is I will be able to perform a forward navigation, so going inside of the different levels of my application. But if I want to go back to one level, the user must use the back key. Okay. And if in some way you must force that, I don't know, for example, let's say that if the user hits the koala, not image failed. If I take my page one, checking out the different properties and instead of the events, if I perform, let's say, a mouse up, if I need, when I'm hitting my koala, to go back to the previous page, I just use the navigation service. And instead of calling the navigate to navigate to the previous page, you have to use the go back function. And so in this way, if you want to implement a navigation that will really handle the way my Windows Phone applications are done, I can go from my secondary page back to my main page. But also if regarding to some actions, I have to force going back to the previous level. So if I hit my koala, I will go call the function that will navigate, and not navigate to the main page, but will navigate through a go back to my main page. Okay. And so the normal behavior is when from the main screen I hit the back key, I will go out of my application. So this ends the first part of the presentation. So we have seen the big picture of the platform. We have now also seen a kind of Hello World application with the first way to navigate inside of the different pages. So we will do now a break of 10-15 minutes, and then after on we will see how to include the accelerometer, but also the GPS and the background agents inside of our Windows Phone application. For all the different other parts, which are the normal logic, creating some threads, making some web service calls, how to update a text box and all those manipulations, those are exactly the same as the one that you did inside of your developments for the PC. So basically there is no main difference in making a Windows Phone application or an application for the PC. The only thing which is different is the fact that when your application goes in background, it will be maybe unloaded from the memory, and when the user come back, you need to restore the same context to the end user. So just for that part, if you go to the online, the MSDN library online, for the Windows Phone section, there are a lot of how-to articles. So that explains how to perform page navigation, how to the life cycle, how to add tiles, how to access a database. If you want to really begin to develop Windows Phone applications, I really recommend you to read those how-tos regarding to the features that you need to use inside of your application. And at least everything related to the page navigation and the application life cycle.